Hear now the word of God. John chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. They ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. He, stooping down, looked in, saw the linen cloth lying, yet went he not in. Then came Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen cloth, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then he went in also, that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked and into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saw, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepeth thou? She said it unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto Mary, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended unto my Father, but go to thy brethren and say unto them, I ascended unto my Father and your Father and my God and your God. Amen. I want to talk about crying at the tomb. Amen. Crying at the tomb. It's been 3 days. Friday, they killed Jesus. They put him on a cross. He died from 12 to 3. He had ministered for 3 years. He had healed a lot of sick people. He had raised the dead. He had fed thousands. He had opened deaf ears. He had healed blinded eyes. He had done all manner of things. And they killed him and they put him on a cross on Friday. And standing around the cross, the Bible does not mention one single person that he had healed that would come to help him when he was in his hour of need. The only people who came, not even his disciples, the one that he had mentored, the one that he had discipled, only one of them showed up at the cross. The rest of them were afraid and scattered and was somewhere hiding. You remember Peter had denied him. Judas had killed himself. The only person that the Gospels mentions consistently was this woman by the name of Mary Magdalene.
Amen.
Mary Magdalene showed up in all the Gospels. Some of the Gospels say that Salome and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Joanna, there was this group of women that traveled with Jesus. You don't hear of them much. You hear of the 12 disciples, but there was not only women, there was a band of about 100 or 20 or so people that traveled with Jesus. And scholars say that the women funded Jesus' ministry. And that Mary Magdalene was the number one funder of Jesus' ministry. Some of you remember Jesus Christ Superstar, and you've read other things, and you've heard other stories that suggest that there was some kind of relationship going on between Jesus and Mary Magdalene. That Mary Magdalene was his woman on the side. Even that Jesus and Mary Magdalene had a child together. Look at somebody and say, that's hogwash. But that's what they say. Well, we don't know a whole lot about Mary Magdalene. And then they also said that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. But the Bible doesn't say that. But what we do know about Mary Magdalene, her name was Mary, and she was from Magdala, a village in Galilee. And not only that, but she had 7 demons in her. We don't know what kind of demons she had in her. But she had a lot of them. Most of us, we got 1 or 2. Maybe 3. But the Bible says that Mary Magdalene had 7 demons. Maybe she had an alcohol problem. Maybe she had a depression problem. Maybe she had a relationship problem. Maybe she was stuck on prostitution and she wanted to get rid of it and she couldn't let it down. Anybody ever had an issue that you wanted to get rid of, but it was a stronghold on your life and it became demonic in your lifestyle? I don't know what demons she had, but she had 7. And you know, when a demon gets you, you can't even get any rest when you go to sleep. Somebody sang that song years ago, Tossing and Turning. Who sang that? I don't know. Never mind. I know somebody. Marvin Gaye. That don't even sound right. But she had 7 demons in her. And Jesus came along, and Jesus saw her, and Jesus cast out all 7 demons, and she was able to get some peace, and she was able to come back to her right mind. Look at somebody and say, no woman, no wonder the woman loved him. And you know, you can love somebody without it being romantic love. All of us lowlifes in here, we always want to make it a sexual thing. But the text says that Jesus cast out 7 demons. Why couldn't she just be grateful? Yeah. She decided to fund his ministry. She decided, if he could do that for me, maybe he could do that for somebody else. Yeah. And it's a good thing. Yeah. So Mary Magdalene, she was there all day Friday. She loved him so much, she stayed right by the cross. She loved him so much, she watched them pierce him in the side. She watched the blood come streaming down. She watched the thorns on his head. She heard every breath. She heard every word when he said, Father, forgive them. She heard when he said, it is finished. She heard when he said, into thy hands I commend my spirit. She saw him when he gave up the ghost and died. She saw him stretch wide. She saw the nails in his hand. She saw the nails in his feet. She loved him so much that she stayed right by the cross. And that was Friday. And they took him down and they buried him in a borrowed tomb. And there was this tradition among the ancient world, they believed that for the first 3 days, a person's spirit would just hover around the gravesite. And if you could get there before the third day was over, you could anoint the body. So she decided, I've got to get to the tomb. She had some sweet spices. And she decided that she didn't know how in the world she was going to get into the tomb. There was this big stone in front of the tomb, but she got up early in the morning, somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. while it was dark, and she went to the tomb. And when she got there, the sepulchre of the tomb was open. And the first thought was, she didn't think the first thought that it was resurrection. She thought it was desecration. She saw somebody has been in there messing with my Lord. Somebody's gone in there, and it was bad enough that they crucified my Lord and my Master, but now they buried him, and somebody has desecrated his body. Her first thought was not resurrection. Her first thought was not that God was doing a God work. She thought, first of all, that grave robbers was doing a work. First thought was that somebody, her first thought was not that he was risen, but that somebody had stole his body. And when she saw that, she immediately ran to find the disciples. She ran to find the chairman of the deacon board. She ran to find Peter and say, he is not here. Somebody has taken his body, and I don't know where they laid him. Come and see.
Yes, yes, yes.
Peter, the leader, and John runs to the tomb. Text says that John outran Peter. He obviously had been working on a treadmill more than Peter. Peter might have been a little bit overweight. I don't know. But John outruns him, and he gets down to the tomb, and he finds that Jesus is not there. And Peter runs in first. John goes in second. And they look around. Jesus is not there. And they decide, Jesus ain't here. They must have stole his body. We're going home. Sounds like a brother. I probably would have done the same thing. But Mary Magdalene decided to stay. And she is weeping and she is crying. It's bad enough that I've lost my Lord. It's bad enough that they killed my Lord. It's bad enough that they killed my Savior. Now they have stolen his body. Now they have desecrated, and she's crying. She is not the only person who's ever cried at a tomb. You've lost loved ones, and you have cried at tombs. But we've not only cried at tombs of people who've died, we've cried at the tombs of people who've lost their dreams. We've cried at the tombs of children who've gone astray. We've cried at a tomb, many tombs, when we did not know how we were going to make it. We've cried at a tomb when we were in a bad relationship and we didn't know how we were going to get out. And it zapped us of all of our energy, and we have cried at the tomb. And Mary Magdalene stayed. She looked in. I don't know how long she cried. How many of you know sometimes you've got to cry a long time before the Lord answers? Sometimes you can cry so long that you be known as the cry baby. I remember that song too, Cry, Cry Baby. I don't know who sang that either. Don't even try to tell me because you don't know either. Mary Magdalene, she looks in and she sees two angels. They're in the tomb now, and they begin to ask, why are you here? Who are you looking for? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? She says, I'm looking for Jesus they have stolen his body, and I don't know where they laid him. And I can imagine she's crying at the same time. I'm looking for you. You know how women are. I'm crying. I don't know where my Jesus is. And then she says, and at the same time she's crying, she hears another voice. Who are you looking for? She turns around. It's Jesus. Look at somebody and say, he'll step in. Right in the nick of time. But she was so grief-stricken. How many know you can be so grief-stricken you can't even recognize your closest friend? You are in some lonesome valley. You can be so depressed. After hearing a choir like that, you can still be miserable because you can be in some low, lonesome valley and you need the Savior to show up and wait on you till you can see clearly. Somebody used to sing that song, I Can See Clearly Now. The rain's gone. Look at somebody and say, it's been raining in my life a long time, and I've been waiting for Jesus to come show up and show out so that I can see again. And Jesus shows up, and he asked them, who are you looking for? And Mary continues to cry. Jesus calls her name. Somebody sleep, wake him up. This is too important. You can't sleep for this. You preaching, Jackson. They don't want to hear God and preach it. Preach yourself happy. So, Mary, she didn't recognize Jesus, and then Jesus calls her name. Oh, it's a good thing when Jesus calls your name. Transformation happens when Jesus calls your name. You can come in here with your head bowed down, but when Jesus calls your name, he can lift up a bowed down head. Do I have a witness? He can put a smile on your face. You can come in here deciding that you're going to be miserable, but after the Holy Spirit goes to work on you, you'll find yourself clapping your hands in spite of yourself when Jesus calls your name. Now here's the good part. Some of y'all know how lousy I am at remembering names. You know, sometimes I'll say, like, what's your last name again? Like I remembered your first name. Then I'll say, oh, Mrs. Jones. But you can rest assured that God knows your name.
Yes, he does.
That Jesus knows your zip code. Down to the last four digits, he knows where you live. He knows you're down sitting. He knows you're uprising. He got the very number of hairs, the hairs on your head numbered when you had hair.
That's right. You got it right.
Yes, sir. So Mary, there, and Jesus says, Mary. I don't believe Jesus shouted her name out. I don't believe Jesus screamed Mary. I believe they had an intimate relationship. You know, you can have intimacy without having sexuality. Do I have a witness in here? You can have intimacy. You can have a good friend that you talk to. Anybody here got one friend? I know you ain't got five, but you do have one good friend. Jesus calls out, Mary. That's what I want you to know Easter's about, all about. That Jesus can call you out of your yesterday into today. He can call you out of your Fridays into your Sundays. Look at somebody and say, it used to be Friday, but I thank God it's Sunday morning now. It's resurrection time now. Devil, you thought you killed me on Friday, but thanks be to God, God was in Christ. God raised him from death, and he is alive forevermore. And when he said, listen, I got to go to the Father so I can get all my power. And Easter is about this, that God raised Christ. And when he raised Christ, He gave Christ power. Power to heal. Have you ever seen anybody that you thought were going to die? You went to see them in the hospital. They had tubes everywhere. And you know, they were on those ventilators. They couldn't breathe by themselves. And, you know, they had so many tubes, and the nurse would come in. And I like this modern medicine now. They can give you a shot in a tube. They got you all hooked up, and they can just squeeze that stuff in the tube. And they don't have to stick you every time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all act like y'all ain't never been sick. Or maybe you just didn't have health insurance and you couldn't get a shot. But thanks to Barack Obama, you can get a shot right now if you apply for the health insurance. But I'm not here to talk politics. I'm here to talk Jesus. Jesus saves. He will pick you up and turn you around to the utmost. Jesus saves. So, Mary Magdalene, Jesus tell Mary Magdalene, go tell the fellas. The disciples, you know, they were hung up in some room somewhere, scared to death. They were scared to come out. They thought that they were going to kill them. And they probably were arguing, why in the world would Jesus show up first and talk to a prostitute? We his boys. Why did he show up? I don't know why Jesus decided to show up and talk to Mary Magdalene, but he did. And he told her, go tell them that I'm coming to meet them, and after I ascend to the Father and get all my power. And when Jesus showed up before the disciples, the first thing he said was, peace be unto you. How many of you know it's good to have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding? When Jesus show up, he can give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. And then he said to him, he said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. Now, if I had been there, I would have said, Jesus, I want the power. But I'm not into too much dying on no cross. Do I have to die on a cross? If you give me the power, can I just zap them? Somebody's just sleeping real comfortable. They're not even trying to perpetrate. They're laying back. But before I finish, I got to tell you one thing. Don't go out and try to do anything in Jesus' name before you get the power. Wait till the Holy Ghost falls on you. Wait till he blows on you. Wait till you endue from above, because he can give you power to handle snakes. Anybody ever had any snakes in their life? I'm talking about human snakes. Anybody ever had any poison? I'm not talking about drinking poison. I'm talking about drinking the poison of a negative person. All right. There's some poison people in your life. And when you get the power of the Holy Ghost, you will know how to separate yourself from that poison. Because if you don't, that poison will kill you. Let the Lord blow on you. I don't know why you came here today, but I'm going to blow on you. In Jesus' name, set them free. Oh, somebody is almost free. Blow on them three more times. Oh. Set them free. Take the chains off. This is Easter Sunday morning. There's a bright side somewhere. There's a second chance in Jesus Christ. Preach Jackson if you want. It's Easter. They tried to kill him on Friday, but he rose with all power in his hand. And he said, go tell somebody what I've done for you. You were dealing with, I was talking to somebody yesterday. This young lady who was in a marriage, got two kids. She was telling me she had to leave her husband because she thought that he was going to kill her. And I said, I'm glad the Lord gave you sense enough. Then she says, you know, I put up with a while, but then it got into the kids, and the kid told the counselor, I think daddy's going to kill mommy. Then she said, I went and got a license to buy a gun. And I decided that if he hit me, I was going to kill him. Then she said, then I filed for a divorce to get away because I didn't want to go to jail because who's going to raise our kids? Yeah, yeah. Then she said, I'm not sure it's over yet. Mm-hmm. How many know that a restraining order don't always restrain? Right. She's got a restraining order. And I know this couple, a nice young man. I don't know what happened, but how many know the devil can get in a mess? You can get in a funk. You can lose your mind. And then you can get so jealous of another person. And you decide, if I can't be happy with her, nobody else. So I want to pray for her. She needs prayer. Because the very first time he comes in acting crazy, she might shoot him. So I'm praying for her, and there's somebody else out there in the same predicament. There's somebody else out there between a rock and a hard place. It might not be in a relationship, but you got some issues, and you need, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us to hold our peace. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? Because sometimes you can lose it over nothing, and you'll be in jail. There's a whole lot of people in jail right now because they lost. Jesus died so that you could hold your peace. Anybody ever felt like losing it? Anybody ever prayed to the Lord, just let me lose it one time? One time. Can I just act a fool one time? When I used to take karate, don't laugh. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean that I can't knock you out. I know some stuff. I ain't got no gun. They used to teach us, and listen, don't you start a fight. Try to run from a fight. But if you can't run from it, if they won't leave you alone, knock them out. I believe that. And then I'm going to pray about it after. You come against my kids and my wife and my family, get set to rumble. I might take more abuse from me. Having said that, I need to pray, and you need to pray, Lord, give me the power of the Holy Spirit to control my anger, to control my feelings. Because sometimes somebody can get in you on your nerves so long. How many of you know you really do need a double portion of the Holy Spirit? I mean, church folk. You know, we act like, oh, them people out in the street. Church folk are some of the meanest people I know. And ain't nothing like an old church folk. Old church folk think they can say anything. I'm a senior citizen, like my God say. What you gonna do? They talk to you any old kind of way. And then throw Jesus in there. They know how to cuss you out without cussing. Jesus says, Jesus called Mary's name and transformed her life. It's one thing when you call my name. You know, how many of you got a mother like mine? You know, when she gets mad at me, she called me every name in the book. I don't mean cursing. She said, Richard, Bobby, Gregory. Then she said, you know who I'm talking to. Your mother like that too? It's one thing when your mother calls your name. And people can call your name with different tones. You know what I'm talking about? My mother never calls me Greg. She calls me Gregory. Never. I never heard her call Gregory. People can call your name with different tones. I know when she's calling my name lovingly. And I know when she's not so lovingly. When Jesus calls your name, Anastasio, Reggie, Edward, Barbara, Monica, Debbie. I'm showing off name the five names that I remember. Donna. All you deacons up there. Lisa. And you know, it's nice when the pastor, it's nice when the pastor remembers your name in a good way. It's nice. King of kings, call me the one who made the heavens and the earth, the one who made the Grand Canyon, the one who put the stars in their place, the one who created, scooped out the seven seas of the world, and he still knows your name. Because you know there's power in him knowing your name. You know that there's transformation in him knowing your name. You know that there's healing in him knowing your name. You know that there's a miracle at work in him knowing your name. You know ain't no miracle in me knowing your name. But if God knows your name, then there's power in you. And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue.